Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
So we're going to be in John chapter 14 and be in verses 15 through 31 today. What a blessing it is to open up God's Word once again this morning, even though it's over the internet. And we've been working through the Gospel of John together on Sunday mornings. And now we come to the second half of chapter 14. So let's begin by reading the passage. John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And we can stop there. So put yourself in the disciples' shoes or sandals. The Lord just told them that he's going to depart, and the disciples can't follow him. There's a lot of uncertainty and fear welling up within them. How could they continue to minister? How could they be encouraged? How can they have peace when Jesus is leaving them all alone? And so the disciples are probably thinking, what about us? What about us, Jesus? How can we do this? We're going to be left alone. And for us, it's easy to feel that way right now, where fears and anxiety and an uncertainty abound with the current pandemic. And it's so easy to think that you're alone as this uncertainty and fear and problems arise, and to think, what about us, Lord? What about me? And the Lord's encouraging words here to his disciples are the same encouraging words for you this morning. So what does he impart to them to comfort them? He speaks about the Holy Spirit. And he also, in the midst of speaking about the Holy Spirit, he also gives another truth that continually comes up. And that very important truth is that a Christian loves and obeys Jesus. A pastor named Billy Strayhorn gave the story of an older couple on their wedding day, and everything went without a hitch, and the preacher asked the bride, "And do you promise to love, honor, and obey him until death do you part?" The bride-to-be wrinkled her brow in thought, and then she said, "Are you crazy? Love and honor, yes. Obey, no." The groom's eyes shot open wide in surprise. He looked at the bride, he looked at the preacher, he looked at the bride again, and then he shrugged and said, "Oh well, I guess two out of three ain't bad." And isn't it interesting that we all enjoy it when love is talked about, but when obedience is brought up, we start to feel uncomfortable. We're like that little boy who was sent to his room for misbehaving. And after a while, he came out and he told his mother that he prayed to God. And so his mom said, "Well, that's great. I'm glad that you prayed to God to ask him to help you behave." And the boy replied, "Oh, I didn't ask God to help me behave. I asked God to help you put up with me." And so although people like to downplay and avoid obedience in the Christian life, that is not what Scripture tells us. Instead, Jesus tells us that love and obedience go hand in hand. To be a Christian is to love and obey Christ. So you can't separate the two. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he reiterates this truth multiple times. He says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He even gives the opposite. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So obviously Jesus wants us to grasp this point. And the point is that love for Christ leads to obedience to Christ. Really, obedience is the demonstration, it is the outworking of our love. So think about it like this. Obedience is a symptom of love for Christ. Love enables obedience. So this is not mere begrudging slavery or duty, but willing and joyful obedience out of love for Jesus. And so the implication is that if a person doesn't love Jesus, they're not going to obey Jesus, and therefore they demonstrate that they are not a Christian. And Jesus gives this as a matter-of-fact statement. A person who doesn't love him doesn't keep his word. A person who loves him keeps his word. And so that means that a true Christian is basically a person who loves Jesus, and this love will then show in obedience to his word. So this isn't work salvation, but it's showing that obedience comes from loving him. But what exactly does this loving him look like? Well, John 3:19 talks about how people love the darkness rather than the light. And that kind of gives us an understanding and a key to love here. It's desiring and delighting in something over another. So, it's loving him, is delighting in him, enjoying him, treasuring him. It is believing in him. It's a person who understands that they are a sinner in need of God's grace. And they hear about Christ and they hear about what Christ has done for them. And they trust him, and they love him, and they cherish him. Essentially, they trust him as their only hope. That kind of person obeys Jesus' word because they love him. And so this is important. Moral change in our lives is not accomplished by mere rules and duty, but really out of a deeper grasp of grace. We love him because he first loved us. And so obedience comes from our hearts. It comes from love. It doesn't come from being forced. You know, from my personal experience, I've seen this. So there's been times in my life where I thought back to my past and I thought, why didn't I obey him as much as I do now? Why was I so apathetic? And I think it's because I didn't love him like I do now. And why do I love him more now? Of course, because of God's work in my life, but also because I dwelt on who he is and what he has done, the more my love grew. So really, it's his love for me that grows my love for him. As you think about this truth, don't just think, ugh, I just need to love him more and try to do it in your own strength. But instead, dwell on his love for you. He loved us so much that we can't help but love him. We can't help but obey him. So please understand this. And Jesus is showing us this. This is basic Christianity. This is what it means to be a Christian. To love him. And then we will keep his commandments. So I want you to reflect upon your own life. Do you truly love him? Do you delight, treasure, and believe in him? Do you listen to and obey the things that he says? Or are you always wanting to disobey whatever he has commanded? Now, of course, we won't do this perfectly. But it should be something that we're striving towards. And so here's a question to ponder. Does your Monday life look like your Sunday life? Now, of course, right now our Sunday lives don't look like they usually do. But typically in the past, on Sundays, we come to church and we praise his name. Does your Monday life look like obedience, like praising him? And as I read through this passage, I kept wondering this. Why is it that he kept emphasizing this truth of love and obedience in the midst of a portion of Scripture on the Spirit? Because really, as you look through this passage, there's a lot on the Spirit, and we'll get to that. So why does he integrate this into this passage? I mean, this love and obedience is in 15, 21, 23, and 24, all of those verses. And I believe it's for two reasons. And first, the only way that we can truly love Him and obey Him is because of the Spirit's work in our lives. So you can never separate love and obedience from the Spirit's aid. Because before Christ, we're dead in our sins. We can't just naturally love and obey the Lord. We need help from God. We need the Spirit, and that's where the Spirit comes in. But secondly, and I believe this is extremely clear in this passage, is Christ wants to make sure that we understand something. We must realize that the Spirit is not given to each and every person in the world. He's only given to those who love and obey Christ. That is, He is only given to a Christian. This is most clearly seen when Judas, not Iscariot, he has this question like, why aren't you going to manifest yourself to the whole world? Why only to us? And Jesus restates his answer by talking about those who love him and those who love him obey his teaching. And those who don't keep his words. So the Holy Spirit is only given to a person who has trusted Christ to be saved. And he shows us that to love and obey God and to have the Spirit indwelling in you, this is the Christian life in the New Testament age. And that leads me to my second point. A Christian receives the Helper. You know, it's said, when you think about the Holy Spirit, it's said that the average church member's understanding of the Spirit is so vague that it's nearly non-existent. And I find that in our circles, that is most often true. And a part of it could be because we see the abuse of it in other churches. The Holy Spirit is misused in other churches shouldn't be that we neglect it, that we neglect Him. We should not minimize His importance in our lives, His impact on our lives. For if we neglect the Spirit, we're neglecting, of course, clear biblical passages. But we're also neglecting an important part of comfort and power in our own lives. And so in order to underscore our neglect of the work of the Spirit in our daily lives, let me ask you a couple questions. So when you please God by serving Him or serving others, how often do you think, wow, the Spirit really empowered me to do that? Or do you just think that you did it? When you're trying to encourage someone and this relevant verse comes to your mind of comfort that really helps that person, do you think, man, was I good at thinking of something? Or do you think, man, the Spirit helped me by bringing something to my mind from God's Word? When you're tempted by something and you resist that temptation, do you think about how the Spirit convicted you and aided you on resisting that temptation? Or do you only think about yourself and how you did it? You see, often in our Christian lives, we act as though we alone were living it. But in reality, Christ is saying, no, you have the Helper with you. And He empowers you, encourages and comforts you. And this Helper is the Holy Spirit. Jesus promises that the Father would send the Helper to them, and we know that happened at Pentecost. But the thing is, only believers receive the Helper, as I said earlier. And he goes on here, he explains that the world cannot receive him because it doesn't know him. So just like the world, they didn't truly know who Jesus was, right? They didn't truly know him. And so they don't truly know the Spirit because they reject Jesus. And so if you reject Jesus, if you disobey his commandments, you're not going to have a relationship with the Spirit in any way. So what exactly, when you think about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, what is his role? Well, there in verse 16, Jesus says he will send you another helper, talking about the Father sending them another helper. And maybe your version says comforter, counselor, advocate. This term, essentially, it's paraclete in the Greek, but it says one, it means one who comes alongside to help. And as I said earlier, this is the Holy Spirit. He is a helper, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate. And I don't think just one of those terms gives us the full meaning, the full picture, but all of them combined show what the Spirit does for us. Helps, comforts, counsels, an advocate. Now, why does Jesus talk about this Spirit at this specific point? Well, go back to the disciples' current feelings. Things were uncertain. The disciples were fearful and troubled because Jesus had told them about his impending departure. And they're probably thinking, what about us? We're going to be left alone by Jesus? And Jesus' answer to those fretful thoughts is that you will not be left alone. Did you notice, interestingly, did you notice how he said, he will send you another helper? In a sense, Jesus is a helper, comforter, counselor, advocate. And the Spirit is another helper of the same kind. The Spirit is like Jesus. And we're told that he will dwell in us forever. So this is the Spirit isn't just this temporary thing, like the Old Testament would temporarily come upon people. No, this is a lifelong reality. So Christian, please understand this. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to feel alone because you have a lifelong helper, comforter, counselor. He's never going to be like, you know what, I'm out of here. Though other people are going to leave you, though others will pass away, the Spirit remains with you forever. That's why Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Get this, we are not, as Christians, we are not and never will be orphans. Though physically you could of course be an orphan because your earthly parents pass away, you can never be a spiritual orphan in Christ because of the Spirit's indwelling, but also as we think about because of Christ will come again for us. We're not left alone. We are never abandoned, for Jesus loves his own. And what great lengths that our Savior has taken to make sure that we are comforted with his presence. So he came to earth and he suffered greatly in his physical body. He died for us. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. That's good in and of itself, but he even goes further in his grace. He makes sure the Spirit is sent to us so that his presence would be with us forever. And one day he will come again for us to gather us. That is our Lord who is loving and serving and caring for us, his followers. He could have been like, you know what? I've done so much for you already on the cross. Just hang in there, guys, until I come. No, he says, in my absence, it will not be a complete absence because the Helper is coming. And it's through the indwelling of the Spirit that we are told the Father and Son are able to make their home in us. So, in these times, why don't you have to fear? Why don't you have to feel alone? Because of the Spirit's permanent indwelling of you. And through this indwelling, you are not left alone. You are not an orphan by Christ. And this is a great thing because it means as we go through life, in moment by moment, day by day, year by year, we have a constant helper, a constant comforter, counselor, advocate for the rest of our lives. And we see that he's called the Spirit of Truth. He communicates truth to us. In fact, in verse 26, Jesus tells them that the Spirit will teach them all things and bring to remembrance his words. This was true, of course, for the disciples as they wrote the gospel. The Spirit moved them along and reminded them of what Christ did and his words, and he taught them. But this text is also applicable to us. Of course, we are not writing Scripture, but he helps us understand God's Word. He brings to mind passages that we need. He's the great teacher. He aids us in understanding the Word. He aids us in applying the Word to our lives. And this is key. He never goes against God's Word because what? He is the Spirit of Truth. And he also brings to mind Christ's words. And so as we live life, we don't have to fear. We don't have to feel alone because we have the Spirit of Truth within us, who illuminates the Word of God for us, comforts us like no other, brings Scripture to our minds. And so he indwells us and helps us understand truth, but also he gives us peace. There in verse 27, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So you can have peace because Christ gives you peace through the Spirit. Isn't this amazing? The same peace that Jesus has is given to us. "My peace I give to you." In the midst of the most troubling times, you can have a sure and constant peace. In the middle of a pandemic, you can have peace. This is not the peace that the world gives, because really the world cannot give true peace. It doesn't have the ability to. As you think about our peace gives us tranquility because we know God is in control. Our peace gives us placidity because we know our eternity is fixed because of Christ's work. Our peace gives us calm and rest because we know our relationship with God is made right and it is secure. Don't be troubled. Don't fear, but rest in the peace of Christ. And Jesus goes on to reassure his disciples that this seemingly tragic departure is really a great thing, actually, because he says they should have rejoiced that he was going to the Father. As you think about it, that his going to the Father means the work is completed. It means that Christ can return, can have the former glory return to him. And so then he talks about the ruler of the world was coming, but he has no claim on him. Satan has no power over him. He has nothing on him. He has no legal claim on him, that he has no justifiable charge on Christ because he's perfect. And isn't this great news? It reminds us that even though the cross, it may have looked like Satan was winning, and it may have looked like the whole thing was just this tragedy, actually Satan had nothing on Jesus, and the plan of God was going all according to plan. So how is this impactful for our lives? It means you can rest in the plan of God. Though times look dark and it seems like evil is winning at times, guess what? It doesn't have the final word, but God does. The cross, it was this darkest moment in history, yet Jesus knew about it. He was doing everything that the Father commanded him, and Satan never once had the upper hand. Satan had nothing on him. So be at peace by resting in the plan of God who knows all things. So as you think about this teaching on the Spirit by Jesus, why is it such a comforting reality to know that a believer has the Spirit, the Helper? Because it means each and every Christian, each and every person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ has a 24/7 permanent helper. Christ is with us through the Spirit's indwelling, and there is no time limit. There is no distance that we have to take to get there to Him. And so when you start to feel alone, but all of a sudden you just start to know that the presence of God is with you, that's the indwelling Spirit. When you read a Bible verse and it just really comes to life, you understand it, you apply it to your life, or maybe you're convicted, that is the Spirit of truth. When you hear that cancer diagnosis, but the comforting words of Scripture, they come to your mind and they encourage you, that is the Helper. When you start to fear, but then you start having the peace of God, that is the Comforter. The Christian life is life in the Spirit. Though you can't see Him with your eyes, you can see His working in your life. So do you see any of the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Guess what? That's a Spirit. And what a blessing it is to know that we have Him. But not only that, that we will always have Him. So imagine hiking up a mountain alone with no experience of hiking mountains. Wouldn't go too well, would it? Maybe you'd take the wrong path. Maybe you not realize that you need to do something important. You'd be pretty scared. You'd be fearful. You'd definitely not have peace. That's because you're hiking in your own power and wisdom, and it's disaster. But the great thing is that we, as Christians, we don't hike alone. You don't have to live the Christian life in your own power or wisdom. You don't go at it alone, but instead we have a guide. We have a comforter, a helper. We have the Spirit. And this guide isn't merely beside us. He's in us. And as our guide, He teaches us what we need to know. He comforts us along the way, and He gives us the power that we need. Ultimately, He gives us peace. He gives us peace. So, Christian, you don't have to live the Christian life alone, but you have been given a helper. And that's what Jesus is telling His disciples and us in this passage. As Christians, Christ has not left us on our own. And that's what the disciples were hearing as Christ is saying, I'm leaving, you can't follow me, Peter's going to deny me, there's a betrayer on our midst, and they're all fearful and uncertain. And Jesus saying, really, you're not going to be left alone. There's going to be a helper sent to you, and He's going to give you peace, He's going to comfort you, He's going to help you in all the ways that you need. And this is greatly comforting. You know, Christ didn't leave this world and say, good luck. But He's given us everything that we need for life and ministry, and a big part of that is through the Spirit. But of course, as we learned, only a Christian can receive the Spirit as salvation. A Christian is someone who loves Christ. And in their life, the natural outworking of being a Christian, of loving Christ, is that we will obey Christ. We will persevere. So, have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be saved? If not, do that today. We're all sinners, and our sin separates us from God, since He's holy and sin deserves wrath. But God, out of love, provided Jesus to be the way to be saved, to be forgiven, to receive eternal life. So will you repent of your sins, trust in Christ's work on the cross, and receive the peace that only He can give. Not that the world gives, because they do not give true peace. They cannot. They don't have control over everything, but God does. And He can give you the peace. Even in troubling times, we can have this peace within us. For those who love Christ, for those who believe in Him, may you be comforted today. Christ has not left you on your own. So Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be fearful. Though you may feel alone right now, as many of us feel very isolated, right? We're social distancing. We're staying at home. We feel alone. We feel isolated. You don't have to feel alone because you have a helper with you at all times. Though you may be discouraged by all the information that you keep hearing about, remember that you have the Spirit of Truth called the Comforter with you. Though life is uncertain and scary, remember that you can have peace even in a pandemic through the Spirit's work. You know, I have a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old son. And this past week, as we were eating breakfast as a family, my 3-year-old just randomly said to my wife and I, "You can't leave us all alone." And of course, we reassured him that we would never leave him and his brother alone in the house. And isn't it great that Christ hasn't left us alone? We don't ever have to say, "Don't leave me all alone." We don't even have to question it, because He has told us, "I will not leave you as orphans." And the proof is in the Spirit who indwells you right now as a Christian. If you believe in Him, you have the Spirit. And He will be with you forever. So will you recognize the Spirit's work in your life more? Will you thank God for Him who sent Him? Will you be comforted by Him? And will you walk in the Spirit today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Spirit's work in our lives. As many of us who are Christians, we see over time, the Spirit's work of the fruit of the Spirit, or the comfort or the peace that we have received from Him. Thank You. Help us to recognize His work more in our lives, not to depend on ourselves, but realize we have a full-time helper with us and who indwells us. Thank You so much, God, for Him. Thank You that You did not abandon us. Completely. You didn't leave us on our own. But when Jesus left, He said, God will send another. And that promise was fulfilled in Pentecost. We see the Spirit come upon people. And so may we be thankful for what You have done by sending the Spirit. And may we be comforted and walk in the Spirit this week. In Christ's name, amen.